From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, April 7th, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Pereira.
In this week's report, radio amateurs are supporting Columbia landslide disaster relief and recovery efforts.
The ARRL Entry-Level License Committee digs in to study its survey results.
And Midway and Curry Islands are placed on the list of deleted DXCC entities.
These stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Dolores Wadsworth, KC8IAN of Wayne, Michigan, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
A disastrous landslide in Columbia overnight on March 31st left more than 260 dead and devastated the town of Mocoa. Many others are injured or missing, and search crews are scrambling to find survivors in the rubble. An emergency amateur radio network was activated on 7.094 megahertz to support the relief and recovery effort. The Mocoa and Garzon fire departments are aware of the ham radio network and also the additional support of HK3NOL, who is mounting additional antennas, said Roberto Ray, HK3CW. Radio amateurs from La Plata and Garzon were critical in supporting personnel and rescuers, he said. We are paying attention to the situation. Heavy rainfall in Colombia's Putumayo province triggered the mud and rock slide after a river burst its banks and debris swept into the town, burying homes and residents. President Juan Manuel Santos declared a state of emergency after visiting the town. Nearly 1,300 National System for Risk and Disaster Management team members are at work in the area. A flotilla of aircraft, vehicles, and watercraft has been deployed for the effort. More information on this developing story will be posted on the ARRL website as soon as available.
The ARRL Executive Committee has directed that work begin on finalizing the language of a revised Memorandum of Understanding between ARRL and the FCC regarding the Amateur Auxiliary or Official Observer Program. The EC met on March 25th in Aurora, Colorado. The panel, which acts on behalf of the ARRL Board of Directors between its regular meetings, heard an update on the Official Observer Program Revitalization Study from ARRL Second Vice President and Committee Chair Brian Milshosky, N5ZGT, who said his committee plans to present final recommendations later this year on revamping the Amateur Auxiliary for ultimate consideration by the full board. In his remarks, General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, was complimentary of new FCC Chairman Ajit Pai and told the EC he thinks enforcement efforts may be more successful in the future due to the new chairman's interest in the issue. Imlay also said the new chief of the Enforcement Bureau, Michael Karowitz, is reported to be amateur-friendly. He told the EC that he foresees a potential window of opportunity for improved spectrum enforcement work, as well as the opportunity to build a stronger working relationship with the FCC on all issues.
The ARRL Board of Directors Entry-Level License Committee is preparing for a deep dive into what turned out to be an overwhelming response. Committee Chair and New England Division Director Tom Frenay, K1KI, said the survey's 8,000 responses, when perhaps 1,500 were anticipated, reflects the high degree of interest in the overall topic. Established by the board in 2016, the committee has been gathering input from the amateur community with an eye toward recommending either a makeover of the technician license or an altogether new entry-level amateur radio license class. For his part, Frenay started out thinking that a new entry-level license would be the answer, but now he's leaning more toward revamping the technician license, in part because he thinks the FCC may be reluctant to create a fourth license class after whittling the number to three in 1999. The current technician license is mainly a VHF-UHF license, Frenay pointed out, with limited privileges on HF, where he believes a lot of newcomers would prefer to operate. Either the test covers material that's not needed for a newcomer, or the privileges don't match well enough with what a newcomer needs to see in ham radio in order to decide whether to continue, Frenay said. Technician licensees have only CW privileges on HF below 10 meters, and CW isn't even a requirement anymore, Frenay pointed out. He suggested some HF digital privileges may provide one incentive. The committee has only looked at the first several thousand survey responses, Frenay said. The hard work lies ahead. It's going to take a little time to sort through it all, Frenay allowed, adding that the committee hopes to have a report to the board of directors in July.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters around the world, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now, with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
If you're going to Dayton this year, the AMSAT Tapper Joint Banquet will be Friday, May 19th. The speaker will be Carl Laufer, offering a non-technical talk on how the RTL-SDR and other low-cost software-defined radios, or SDRs, are changing the landscape of radio use. Carl is an electronics, software, and radio enthusiast from New Zealand. After completing his PhD in machine learning, he decided to pursue a new interest in the software-defined radio world. Tickets for the banquet are only available at the AMSAT.org online store. No tickets will be sold at the Tapper or AMSAT booths at Dayton. Thanks to AMSAT for this Dayton update. On the hunt for new grid squares, David XE3DX has been traveling to several grids in Mexico that are highly desired. Listen for him on the linear and FM birds. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
It seemed nothing was going to stand in the way of nine youngsters and their two teachers from Trois Pelatuviers School in French Guiana, South America, and their chance to speak with astronaut Thomas Pesquet, KG5FYG, on the International Space Station via an amateur radio link. The amateur radio on the International Space Station contact was set for March 23rd. "I love talking to kids. Their questions are often better than adults' questions," Pesquet said on his Facebook page, which has a brief video that tells the story of the contact. A small village of 180 inhabitants between the Amazonian forest and the Oyapock River, a natural border with Brazil, Trois Pelatuviers isn't all that easy to get to. It is accessible only by dugout canoe, and the voyage takes about an hour. At the school, there is no electricity during the day, no internet, and only recently has telephone service become available. The village population is exclusively Native American, many residents having strong ties with Brazil. The school has about 50 students in two classes. To reach the location where the students would speak with Pesquet entailed not only the hour-long canoe trip, but a three-hour bus journey, and things did not go quite as planned. As the bus neared its destination, the passengers learned that roads to both their primary and backup locations were blocked due to a strike. The only solution was to use a teacher's mobile telephone. That's how the students and their teachers ended up in the small kitchen of a private home. The contact was a telebridge, with W6SRJ in California serving as the earth station for NA1SS, and the two-way audio provided via telephone to the contact site, where the youngsters plan to ask a dozen or so questions in French. Notwithstanding a series of obstacles, the radio conversation between the students and astronaut Thomas Pesquet was a success, one of the teachers said. This was amateur radio at its best.
ClubLog has become the first logging service to achieve trusted partner status for Logbook of the World, ARRL and ClubLog have announced. Radio amateurs holding Logbook of the World callsign certificates who have uploaded logs to ClubLog now can readily cross-post them to the highly secure Logbook of the world's largest repository for confirming amateur radio contacts. The Trusted Partner Program defines the requirements for an online service to store user credentials with acceptable security. All Logbook users, whether or not they work through ClubLog as a trusted partner, are responsible for ensuring the security of their credentials. Individuals who rely on a trusted partner site for security have met the requirements to keep Logbook of the World and their credentials secure. Users who allow their callsign certificates to be compromised or who knowingly exploit compromised credentials may lose the privilege of using Logbook of the World and participating in ARRL-sponsored award programs. ClubLog has implemented security at the level required by the Trusted Partner Program, as verified by ARRL's Information Technology Department. Trusted partners are re-verified periodically to remain in the program. More information on technical specifications and on current Trusted Partner Program members is available on the ARRL website. Other logging sites are invited to join the program by implementing the Trusted Partner Standard.
ARRL has clarified its rules for all contests to clearly prohibit the practice of calling CQ on two or more frequencies in the same band. The clarification is an extension of existing rules that permit only one transmitted signal, and it formalizes what had been a gentleman's agreement. ARRL reviewed it, concurred that this is technically occupying two channels, and in consultation with several members of the board of directors who had been contacted by concerned parties and the Programs and Services Committee, it was concluded we needed to clarify our existing rules, ARRL contest branch manager Bart Yonke, W9JJ, said. An explanatory paragraph points out, the intent of the rules has always been that a participant would use or occupy only a single channel in a given band, changing frequency in band from time to time, leaving a CQ frequency to work a multiplier, or to change the CQing frequency as band occupancy or changing propagation dictated. And this rules clarification will now give the needed added clarity to that intent. The issue arose when a multi-operator team successfully employed in-band interleaved CQs in the last ARRL International DX-SSB event, substantially boosting their score. The update brings ARRL's contest rules in line with those of CQ-sponsored contests, which already prohibit the practice of in-band interleaved CQs. The IARU-HF Championship contest bans the practice for multi-operator entries.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Jennifer Harris, N5LRF of Duncanville, Texas, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Midway and Curry Islands have been placed on the list of deleted DXCC entities, effective as of August 26, 2016. This came about as an unintended consequence of action last summer by then-President Barack Obama that expanded the Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument to include the northwestern Hawaiian Islands west of Niau Island, making it the largest contiguous protected conservation area under the U.S. flag. Midway, KH-4, had qualified for DXCC status by virtue of its being governed by a separate administration. Because it is now under the administration of Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument, it becomes a deleted entity. Approximately 50 people live on Midway, including U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service staffers and contractors. The Battle of Midway, a turning point in the Allied World War II Pacific Campaign, took place in June 1942. Now uninhabited, Curry Island, KH-7K, a part of Hawaii, is separated from the rest of the state by Midway. Because of that, it had qualified for DXCC status due to the distance from its parent entity, Hawaii. Midway Island's change in DXCC status, in turn, made Curry Island no longer eligible for DXCC status because Curry is no longer separated from the rest of Hawaii by intervening land or islands that are part of another DXCC entity. Curry Island once was home to a U.S. Coast Guard Loran station, remnants of which are still evident. It has been a state wildlife sanctuary since 1981. Neither Midway nor Curry was able to be activated without prior permission, and then only for a planned de-expedition. Only contacts made on August 25, 2016 or earlier will count for these two entities. And finally, a reminder that ARRL headquarters will be closed on Good Friday, April 14th. There will be no W1AW bulletin or code practice transmissions, and no ARRL audio news on that day. ARRL headquarters will reopen on Monday, April 17th at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We wish everyone a safe and enjoyable holiday.
And that concludes ARRL audio news for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL audio news is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until April 21st, I'm Carla Pereira.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X, 73, and thanks for listening.